Again, this is KHEN, LPFM Radio. And this is Truth Quest with Melody and support for KHEN. And Truth Quest is brought to you by Kevin Barnes, agent for Land Home Properties, for Land Property Inc.'s Little River Ranch, offering beautiful land home packages with underground utilities and river access just 3 miles from historic downtown Salida. Find out more at coloradohomeproperties.com or call Kevin at 719-207-0858. And again, this evening, I've got a special treat. I've got a husband and wife, Artie and Elizabeth Wheeler. And I'm going to let them describe a little bit more about themselves. But the reason why I brought them into this on our program tonight is because this is a couple that I think is kind of a treat, because they're actually out there doing something that some of us, that we can't, no matter what we say or do to try to get them active in what's going on out there in the world this day, they don't seem to do anything. So, Artie and Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great, great.
Melody, you're there. Your voice is very low.
Okay.
I can hear it. I don't think Sweetheart could hear it at all.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
You can hear
but not as good as I should be able to.
Okay, well, that possibly might be because of what? Okay, that possibly might be because of this. You guys using one of your phones or something. Sometimes we have that problem a little bit. So I hope that you can hear me well enough to be able to converse.
Do you want
back
us to hang up one of these phones?
Well, you can try that and see if that works. And we'll go ahead and let Artie start here.
And of course, I wouldn't be able to hear you.
Right. Well, what we'll do first is let's just see if that works, and we'll let Artie get started here.
Okay. Okay. I'll hang up the phone then.
Okay, and then I'll tell him if we
okay.
add you. Okay. Okay, Artie, do you want to go ahead and explain how who you are and how you got started being an activist?
Well, Melody, I'll tell you folks a little bit about myself. I'm an old redneck farm boy from Arkansas, and my wife is from the same town. Pretty Peach Wheeler is what she's commonly known as. And I remember one day I was sitting here, I guess it was 2001, looking at my computer, which I'd built, and there was a plane that flew into one of the World Trade Center tower buildings in New York. And I looked at it and I said, well, I told my wife, I said, boy, I bet a bunch of those moneylenders got what for. And she said to me, oh, my God, if that was really what it looks like, those moneylenders have been tipped off by someone before the event happened. And I said, yeah, I suppose you're right. I'm a tool and die maker and tool and die designer. I've worked for 50 years, paid the bulk of my money in income tax, and now I'm on Social Security. I'm very poor. I think something was done to my leg when I had my heart operated on. My doctor believes that, too. He doesn't know what it is. And we think somebody on the hospital staff was paid to mess my leg up. That is because I had accused the Israeli Mossad, Daddy Bush, and Bill and Hillary Clinton of being the ones involved in the so-called 911 incident. Anyway, I would like to tell you folks something that happened here. I guess it was 2.5 years ago or so, 3 years ago. I was sitting out at the lunchroom of the company where I work, which is Owens, Illinois, a big bottle manufacturer. They're worldwide. And my buddy and I were sitting in the lunchroom there. And I'd sort of turn my chair around where I didn't have to look at that liberal garbage on the television set, but still my eye was a little bit focused on the television. And all of a sudden, a plane came from the left side of the screen, and it flew into the World Trade Center Tower building, and it came out on the other side. Well, that's the first time I had seen that, and I turned to my buddy, Steve Hughes, a so-called buddy, and I said, boy, what a bunch of garbage. Did you see that? That beats anything I've ever seen in my life. And he said to me, why, Artie, what do you mean? That's the second plane that hit the South World Trade Center Tower building in New York. Said, I forgot you don't have a television in your house, but we've all seen that hundreds of times. I said, Steve, are you out of your mind? No airliner made of aluminum and fiberglass is capable of flying completely through the world's strongest office building and coming out the other side. Didn't you notice that the so-called plane was intact? It didn't have a speck of damage on it. Plus, there were no windows in it. And the nose of it was a perfectly round hemisphere, like the end of a butane gas tank. And he said, you know, Artie, you're right. I never paid any attention to that anymore before. And I said to myself, well, I think I'll start investigating this a little bit. So I went home that night and turned on the computer, and I looked at, I guess, during the next three nights or so, about 200 websites that had the skeletons of the World Trade Center Tower buildings shown on the screen. And what was amazing was that there was no dimensions on any of the pictures between any two floors of the building. And this was quite strange to me because the floors were 4 inches in thickness and were made of reinforced concrete, reinforced with steel beams, and it was a lightweight concrete. Well, I said to myself, if you divide the height of the buildings by the number of floors, which was 110 floors, that will give you the dimensions that you need to find out what the distance of the floors was, which I divided that out, and it came to almost 12 feet exactly, minus 4 inches, which means you had 11 feet, 8 inches between the floors. Now, I looked on Boeing specifications for a 767 airliner, and it was 16 feet, 6 inches from top to bottom, and the floors were about 4 feet less than the plane was tall. So I said, my Lord, what I was looking at there was no doubt a bogus cartoon, a made-up picture, made-up image, and that started me on my investigation of 911.
Oh, Artie?
And that's basically it.
Artie?
The starting of the investigation. Go ahead, Melody.
Okay, now, are you hearing me okay?
Yes, ma'am. You're low, but I can hear you.
Okay, and let me just say something here. The views expressed on this program are those of myself and or my guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Okay, go ahead, Artie. You can go ahead and continue on with how.
Or maybe back up just a second and say what you didn't see between those two floors that convinced you that the plane was too large for the hole.
Absolutely. The plane would have been torn to shreds by the 4-inch concrete floors that were narrower than the plane, if you could believe what you saw on the Boeing site and by dividing the number of floors into the height of the building.
That's just a little thought experiment you did to make sure that the plane couldn't have gone through a floor and come out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, what I know about airplanes, I've built the Tomahawk cruise missile tooling, and tooling for Boeing aircraft for over 30 years. And I can assure you I've seen numerous films and things and numerous drawings about the tooling and the planes. And I knew that the plane was too fragile, too, shall we say, weak to have even remotely come through that building that on that so-called monumentous event. I realized that I was looking at something other than an airplane, and I had to find out what I was looking at, and when I found out that there was something that I could be looking at, specifically it's called a scalar hologram image. And if you're not familiar with that, on every B-1 Lancer bomber and B-2 stealth bomber, they have a machine on board those planes. It's brought down in size somewhat now. On my CD, I have a picture, I think, of an F-16 with one of the machines on board projecting out an image of itself. Anyway, I found out that they have a machine on these planes called a scalar hologram image generator, and let me say firsthand that Nikola Tesla, the famous electrical genius, had thought and had started experimenting with some types of scalar a little bit before 1900, and he said they could exist. I would also like to say at this point that the great inventor was murdered by a Morgan thug, and you're not taught that in the public school system, but that's what happened to him because he had too many things, such as his so-called free energy machine, that would have put the petroleum business completely on the skids had it ever been perfected, and that's why he was murdered. But anyway, to get back to this scalar hologram imaging, the machines project out two images on the plane in scalar light waves that are extremely intense. They focus those beams out sometimes as far as 2 miles ahead of the plane, and it shows what appears to be an almost perfect image of the plane. Well, that's what the enemy anti-aircraft fire at. They fire rockets and missiles and automatic cannons at those so-called images, and the American fighter planes lock on to them and fly on by and blow the devil out of them. And that takes care of the anti-aircraft of the enemy, and they proceed on to the strike of the necessary target that they're going to strike. Anyway, that's what you saw instead of airplanes fly into those buildings. And I also happened to notice that there were no windows in the planes, and as I say on my CD, you can see on number 30 page, which the entire book is written on the CD, you can see a Boeing 767 airliner on the runway, and it has a pointed nose, not a perfectly round hemispherical nose like was shown on the television numerous times, and it's been shown on the internet numerous times. Now, go ahead, sir.
Well, I wanted to ask a little bit, is how many different viewpoints do you think you were able to see this from? Are you following what I'm saying?
No, ma'am, not exactly.
How many different films were done of this so that you could identify what you had seen? Or was it just from one viewpoint?
Well, ma'am, exactly what you're talking about. Right on my CD, I have the video that you can watch a Tomahawk cruise missile come out of the fireball. I will tell you this, ma'am, that scalar hologram image that you saw was a cloaking device for some Tomahawk missiles that were flown into the buildings. Now, I will say this. I have one picture on there. I don't remember what one it was. You can look if you like. It shows the so-called plane, the number 175 plane, come out of the building's far side. It hangs there. It sweats fire the fire engulfs it, and supposedly it falls down. The pieces do. Now, there is another picture there which was taken off the internet that shows the plane about three dimensions of itself outside the number 2 World Trade Center Tower building, the so-called South Tower building, and you can look at both of those pictures and compare them with each other for yourself. In other words, they thought that the American people were so stupid that they didn't even show the same pictures each time, and that's very readily apparent on what was taken off the internet. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, one other thing I want to do is go ahead and see if we can put Elizabeth back on and see if that makes any difference for the sound for you.
All right, let Elizabeth speak a little bit then on the telephone and try her out, would you?
Okay.
Go ahead, doll. She's going to speak to you.
I'm here.
Well, what I was also saying is probably both of you could be on both phones, and we could try it that way, you know, see if, because it doesn't sound like he's hearing my voice any better either way.
I have a question.
I can hear you better.
I've been hearing you say just exactly those things about the tomahawks and the scalar imaging that separate you from a lot of...
Hold on a minute, Mr. Shannon.
Okay.
Very good. I'm back again. Listen.
Okay, now what I was saying is have her pick up the extension phone so she can hear.
Yes, he's on.
Okay, good.
Ma'am, I'm on.
Okay, go ahead, Shannon.
Well, you'd gone over the points where you have a unique perspective compared to a lot of the guests we've had on and a lot of the people in the internet area. I'm wondering what level of support for your theories, specifically of the tomahawks, have you received from other 911 researchers?
Go ahead, answer that.
No, he meant for you, Artie.
He was talking to me.
No, Artie, this is for you.
Yes, ma'am. You wanted to know about the tomahawk missiles. Is that correct, sir?
What level of support have other 911 researchers given to that theory of the tomahawk missiles?
Well, you don't have to have any support. All you have to do is look at the pictures and look at the video of the tomahawk flying by the South World Trade Center Tower building. I will tell you a little story. I've had the Secret Service over to my house 4 different times. One time, the main man came over with 2 deputies. They flashed their 10. I can't even remember what they came over here for, but he's over at Fort Detrick now. Well, the second time, an agent came over. I don't even remember his name, but he had a lady officer with him, a knockout-looking gal, and they wanted to know this and that. They wanted to know if I was going to harm our illustrious president. I'd told organization on the net that I was going to send him to the gallows, and they came over, flashed their 10s, they always flash their 10, you know, and wanted to know all about that. Well, I said, I am going to send him to the gallows, and he said, well, Mr. Wheeler, you can't say that, that's against the law. And I said, what? You must be out of your mind. Don't you know that the First Amendment says that I can say anything to anybody about any subject, and it's your law is illegal? And I said, I want to show you something here. And I gave him a 20-page federal law. And that federal law says that if the President of the United States lies to the American people and gets them in a war on any subject, and he has done that by telling us lies about Saddam Hussein, and also he was buying yellowcake uranium ore, supposedly, from Nigeria, and he also said that Saddam Hussein was doing that. That is 2 lies that Colin Powell said that he told the American people, and according to that federal law, that is capital treason. And he has the choice of being executed either by a lynchman's rope or a firing squad. Anyway, I gave that to the Secret Service agent, and his lady agent that was in here was just taking dictation of what we were saying. And I said, I want to show you something here while you're here. And he said, what is it, Mr. Wheeler? And I said, well, you know, this is a free speech house. You can say anything you want to here. You don't even need to flash your tin at me. You're certainly welcome here. And I showed him the Tomahawk cruise missile come out of the fireball on the side of the South World Trade Center Tower building. And he said to me, and sat there and looked at it and said, Mr. Weir, there's something I think I should tell you, and it may blow your mind. And I said, well, go ahead, tell me anything you like, sir. And he said, before I joined the Secret Service, I was in the United States Navy for 6 years. I'm a Tomahawk cruise missile specialist. And you are absolutely right, Mr. Wheeler. That is a Tomahawk cruise missile that's coming out of that fireball. I have watched and launched many of them in the past, and that is absolutely a Tomahawk. And then he said, Mr. Wheeler, that Tomahawk just expelled its booster engine. That's what that black smoke is that you see there in the video. And I said, what? Let me look at that again. And he said, go right ahead. So I played it back again. It was about a 15-second clip. And sure enough, you could see the black smoke come out from the Tomahawk, and then it flew off into space. And I said, well, that means that that missile only came from possibly a few hundred yards, didn't it, sir? And he said, yes, Mr. Wheeler, I'm afraid you're absolutely right. I said, do you suppose that missile came from a submarine in the East River or the Hudson River? They're about three stories tall. I don't know if the river's even deep enough at that point for a submarine to launch a missile. But anyway, that little conversation took place between me and the Secret Service officer that was here at the house that day. He stayed about 2.5 hours when I gave him the federal law and I gave him a CD and DVD. He was highly upset when he left the house. He realized fully that traitors inside the United States government had perpetrated the 9-1-1 massacre. Well, one more little thing I think I should tell you. You know, I'm 66 years old, and when I was a kid, Pearl Harbor had took place. Well, we learned, of course, later on that Pearl Harbor was somewhat of a staged event that Roosevelt had picked on the Japanese until they had no choice but to strike out at the United States. We also found out that the Japanese had fully surrendered 5 months before Roosevelt allowed them to, shall we say, experience the atomic bomb. And so as I began to notice this thing over and over, I realized that this was a false flag event, that all those people were killed just to get America into a shooting war with Iraq. And you must understand that it makes no difference whether you are Democrat or Republican. My dad was always a Democrat. And just before he died, he said, son, both sides are controlled by the same people. I realize that now. And I said, yes, Dad, you're absolutely right. Both sides, the Democrat and Republican Party, are both controlled by the same people. And those people are commonly known as international bankers. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I don't know where to go. You're usually pretty good at carrying on with the where to go with this. So I'm going to let you just continue on with your experience here.
There's so much about this thing that even I don't remember. But
how about this? Let's take a quick shortcut.
Act about 5 years ago by these local Baltimore pigs, commonly known as the police, and. I walked down toward the street corner to get on the bus, and I noticed that they were parked on both sides of the street. And this was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I thought, well, gee whiz, wonder what all those fuzzes are doing down here. And about an hour later, I was out at work at my job at Owens, Illinois, and They chopped both doors down on my house. They had the news media out here photographing it, you know, for maximum effect. They put me in jail for 4 months. What was interesting, after I got out of jail, my wife and I one day had taken the light rail up to Park Avenue, and we had found out that you could get on Social Security. Incidentally, I was fired about the fourth day I was in the jail for having 308 Winchester ammunition that the Baltimore police, better known as the Pigs, had found when they searched all my stuff out at Owens, Illinois. And this is an anti-gun state, and Owens, Illinois is an anti-gun company. And I got a letter from Mr. Joe Lamour, the plant manager there, up at the jail, that I was fired. Well, that's okay. I was tired of working anyway, so it didn't really make any difference. But anyway, we started out to Park Avenue. And we got off the elevator train there, and we were looking around for the Social Security Administration building. We were going to go inside, and we heard that if you had a disability, you could get on Social Security 3 years early with no trouble. So we were looking around, and all of a sudden a man came out of one of the buildings there, a nicely dressed man with a suit on, and he was holding a cup of coffee in his hand. And he said, hi there, are you folks looking for something? And I said, why, yes, sir, we're looking for the Social Security Administration. And he said, you found it, come on in. And he opened the door for us, and he said, you're the Wheelers, aren't you? And I said, why, yes, sir, we are. And he said, Mr. Wheeler, I saw you on television 3 different times. I'm Judge Pucci. I'm a federal appellate court judge. I'm here at Social Security. If people file for their Social Security and they don't think they're getting enough money, they come into my court and I determine what the amount is. I want you to know, sir, that what they did to you was atrocious. I have talked to numerous federal appellate court judges that are friends of mine, and they all said the same thing. My son is a lawyer, and he said the same thing. This was an outrage, what was done to you in your home. And if you ever have any trouble with the police or the circuit court in Baltimore at any time on any subject, get word to me, and I will take care of the matter for you. He said, this is a crooked court, and we would love to sting them if possible. Now, that is the Baltimore Circuit Court. I want to say that Judge Pucci passed away about a year ago, and it was an unfortunate death. I think that the man passed away because he was a good judge, at least from what he'd said to us that day. But I wanted to tell you about that little incident that took place out on Park Avenue at the Social Security Administration. And anyway, we got right on, no problem whatsoever. My wife had already been on because she's somewhat older than me, but I got a check one day for $11,000 from him. It was pretty nice for a while there to have that money. Go ahead, dear.
Well, was this related to back payments? Is that what that was?
Yes, ma'am. It was just money that was owed me, you know, back payment, because I didn't know you could get on Social Security. I didn't even know I had a disability at that time, but I did have. And as I say, this disability, my doctor thinks it was put on me by someone on the staff of the hospital where I had the heart operation. Now, there's another thing that I need to tell you folks that I think you will find somewhat interesting. The head man from the Secret Service came out to my house twice. That's Mr. Bruce McCauley. Now, remember that name. Bruce McCauley. He is the head man of Secret Service here in Baltimore, Maryland. His office is on the fifth floor at 100 North Charles Street, which is a big street here in town. Anyway, I made up some printed copies of the book, which have all pages in the book, have a prologue and an epilogue, and a few other stories that I put into the book that I just put in out of hand. And I was going to have my heart operated on. They were going to take my heart out for about 9 hours. And they put a new valve in my heart and gave me 5 bypasses taken from a vein on my left leg, which is a standard procedural operation. My doctor said they do 10 to 15 of those operations per day in the hospital, and he has never seen one to this day that anybody had the agony that I've had with this leg, and he thinks it was done. Well, anyway, a few days before I went to the hospital for the heart operation, I stopped by the Secret Service office, and I walked in the office there. There was no secretary around, and I said, "Hello, hello." And all of a sudden, this top man at the Secret Service, Mr. Bruce McCauley, as I say, who'd been out of my house on 2 separate days, and this officer that had come the second time that had seen the Tomahawk cruise missile fly out of the fireball, they both came into the room, and they said, "Why, Mr. Wheeler, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, gentlemen, I've got to go into the hospital and have my heart operated on. And they tell me that sometimes you die when you have this operation for a reason they don't know. And the reason I came by here today was to give you gentlemen a full printed copy of my book on 911 and give you the CD and DVD that not only has the entire book on it, but the DVD is my verbal consultation, which is a little over an hour, of what happened in 911. And I want to say, gentlemen, that I have, toward the end of my verbal dissertation, a picture of a gigantic beam which was shown on television. It was about 60 stories tall. You've all seen it. And there was a somewhat shorter beam on the opposite side of the World Trade Center Tower South Building, which didn't fall completely down when the building fell down. It was still standing up there. And all of a sudden, that 60-story-tall beam turned to powder in about 5 seconds. That's right. It turned to powder finer than talcum powder. And so did the other beam that was a little bit shorter. And if you looked at the lower parts of the building turned to powder at the same time. And at that point, I realized that what had been used against those beams and buildings were not only controlled demolition explosives, but they used some kind of directed energy machine, which I'm not familiar with what it is. I'd never seen one. It's some new weapon that the Army has, and it uses very low power, I found out. And what I would recommend that everybody that's listening out here to this radio program tonight does, if you have a computer in your house, go on the website of Dr. Judy Wood. She is absolutely, without question, the sharpest person that I've seen that is studying the 911 Holocaust, if you want to use that term. And many of the pictures on my CD and has been taken off Dr. Judy Wood's site. She has many, many more pictures than I have on her website. And I will tell you this, Dr. Wood is a knockout-looking gal. She's very beautiful, and she's extremely smart. But I wanted to tell you folks that. And anyway, we sat down on the couch at the Secret Service office there, and we looked at the book and looked at some of the various pictures, and Mr. McCauley said, "That is impressive." And I said, "Well," I said, "it's a tragic thing that's happened to our country, but if when you read the book and look at the CD and DVD, you will know with positive effect that it was traitors inside the United States government that did the 911 massacre, and what they'll do next, I don't know. I do know that the machine that flies over the United States found a nuclear device in the Israeli embassy in New York, and the anything about it, just died. You never heard any more about it. So,
where did you hear about this?
This was on the internet.
Okay.
And it was on a couple of sites about them. They located this nuclear device in the Israeli embassy in New York, which I think they've got some kind of an atomic bomb there. I have a strong suspicion that it'll probably be used. It's probably been located already in some American city, and they will blow the devil out of that city and use that as a false flag attempt to get America into some other kind of connivance, sort of like the Iraqi war. And also, you will find, if you study this thing as long as I have, that the 9-1-1 massacre was planned and orchestrated by the Israeli Mossad, the biggest gang of criminals in the world. They are allowed to kill people worldwide with no police agency stopping them, simply because people are afraid that they may become economically distressed if they put them, shall we say, in a strain.
Okay, now, when you went to these Secret Service, what did they do when you gave them this book and CD?
All they did was just basically said, thank you, Mr. Wheeler, very much. They bid me goodbye. I said, well, it's the fifth floor here that I have to walk down. I'm going to take the elevator down as far as I can and see if I make it. And my wife said that Mr. McCauley came out to the hospital twice to see me. Why don't you tell them about that, doll, about Mr. McCauley coming over here and seeing, wanting to see me?
Elizabeth?
It's been several years since that happened, and my memory is not too good. But when I went out to the hospital to see Sweetheart, they told me that Sweetheart had a visitor. And I said, who was it? And they said, well, they said that his name was McCauley. I said, wow, he's head of the Secret Service here in Baltimore. I was very, very surprised. And I called Mr. McCauley, and he said, yes, that he did go out to see Sweetheart, and that he actually went twice. First time, they wouldn't let him in to see Arthur, so he went back again.
Elizabeth, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself? I mean, because your age, and don't you have a radio program yourself? Or
I did have on Hal Turner's site. Are you familiar with Hal Turner?
Yes, I am.
And just before they attacked our house and put Arthur in jail, I had a radio show for white children on Hal Turner's internet radio show.
And so, in what you're, how old are you now?
I'm 78.
78. And so what how long have you guys been kind of active with, obviously it had to have been after 2001 for your husband. Were you very active in speaking out about injustices for that?
I let Sweetheart do most of the talking. He does it so much better than I do.
Well, how about also explain it? Why don't you tell us a little bit about the incident where the police came in and broke in and why?
Well, it was on a Tuesday afternoon, July the 1st, 2003. It was about 10 minutes after 2. And I was on the internet reading some things, and all of a sudden, uh, somebody started banging at my door and saying, "Police, police, we're coming in, coming in." They didn't bother to knock. They started chopping down my door, my front door, with an axe. It was locked, of course, and I jumped up from the computer and ran to the door. And as I opened the door, they started coming in, and they had these shields in front of it, these big plastic shields, and they had this stuff on the things on their faces, like they thought someone was going to shoot at them.
And so, what did they do to you?
I asked them, I said, what do you think you're doing? And one of the men grabbed me by my hands and said, shut up, sit down and shut up, and took and pushed me down and sat me down and put restraints on my arms and hands. And I guess you can tell that it upsets me to talk about this. And I sat down there where they put me down for 7 hours, a little over 7 hours.
And did you ever? What were the reasons that they came?
Did not give any reasons.
You never got any reasons throughout the whole.
They never said what they were doing here. They told me to sit down and shut up.
And how long ago was this?
5 years.
5 years ago?
Almost six.
And was your husband already pretty vocal out in the community with, you know, questioning what was going on with the 9/11 issue?
If he did, I was not thoroughly aware of it.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to kind of get some glimmer of why they would have.
Well, you see, what you must remember is that I told several people that the Bush administration, the Clintons, and the Israeli Mossad had done 9/11. I'd verbally told numerous people that, and this is how I think it got back to the illustrious Baltimore Pigs. Anyway, I found out that it was Michael Chertoff, that scuzzball Jew, who we call the Skull, that sicked them on us. And I was told that by Mr. Edgar Steele, the famous lawyer out in Stegall, Idaho. So go ahead, doll. You can talk to the lady if you like.
Well, what I was fixing to say, sweetheart, was that you remember that you were on Hal Turner's show, and you mentioned that very thing.
Yeah, I told the very thing on Hal Turner's show that the Bushes, the Clintons, and the Israeli Mossad had done 9/11. And, of course, Chertoff is a Zionist. He is definitely a Jew. I personally think he's got the AIDS. He looks like he has. He is so skinny, it is beyond belief. And that's why we call him the Skull. Go ahead, dear.
So, in the meantime, what took place after they had you said they had you for 7 hours, and then when they got a hold of your husband and put him in jail, what happened after that?
Well, he was in jail for 4 months.
And
solitary confinement.
Yeah, they had me down with all the pedophiles. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, gee. So, and as far as, what did they take in your home and do to it while they were spent 7 hours, you know, looking at your home?
Everything.
See, they
everything they could put their hands on. They took all of his reloading equipment, all of his powder, all of his shells, everything that had to do anything with guns.
They stole all my guns. They stole my entire gun collection, which I had handguns that sold for $2,500 a piece now. You know, Colt Pythons are really good ones. And they stole large numbers of books. And, of course, when I went up to the pigsty and the judge made me go up there and get my $7,000 back that they'd stole from my wife, they gave it to me up at the sty. And, of course, my so-called buddy, Steve Hughes, who I later found out was the one that was giving them information about what was in my house. There was nothing in my house that was illegal. I had more than the minimum amount of powder that you're supposed to have here. That's to say smokeless powder, which is used for loading shells. And I had brought about 150 pounds of the powder up here from Arkansas, and I had about 50 pounds left, and they stole all the powder. What is interesting about this powder, if you want to buy a $25 permit per year from the pigsty, you can have 499 pounds of powder. If you want to buy a $50 per year permit from the pigsty, you can have 700 pounds of powder per year located on your premises. So obviously the legislature doesn't think it's very dangerous. But even that police law is unconstitutional, because any law that says you have to have a permit to buy a pistol or rifle or shotgun or powder is illegal. That law violates Article 2 of the Bill of Rights, which guarantees people the right to keep and bear arms with no restrictions whatsoever. But the problem is, we've had these scuzzball judges over the past few years that have, in effect, passed gun laws themselves, not necessarily by any legislature, even though the legislatures are extremely dangerous, and these judges will have to be dealt with when the time comes. And they will be dealt with a lynch rope. Go ahead, doll.
So how did you manage while he was in jail for that 4 months?
Well, Hal Turner put my name and address up on his site, and I received donations from various people. And Kevin Alfred Strom, who was with the National Alliance, also did a radio interview with me about the situation, and people heard it and sent in donations.
I would like to say at this point that numerous people all over the world sent in thousands of dollars in donations, and we would like to thank them again immensely for the financial help they gave us during this time. We had the little trouble with the, shall we say, wonderful pigs. Anyway, thank you greatly, folks. Thank you so much for the money.
Yes, of course. We both do.
Well, and, you know, so, and you guys, what do you guys do? You, I hear you periodically go on various radio programs and speak. Is that, and you also have like DVDs you made and you mail out information about 9/11. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
And so you're just as active as can be as far as trying to speak out about, you know, what you feel took place on 9/11.
I think it's time someone did, Miss Mallory.
Yeah, and well, when you view the DVDs and that sort, I mean, you show a lot of footage there that, you know, to back up some of your questions on, that took place. Did you ever get into anything that question anything on the Pentagon and what took place at the Pentagon?
What about the Pentagon?
Artie, did you have anything that you...
Well, no, ma'am. We never were very much interested in what went on in the Pentagon, because we consider the Pentagon to be the enemy of the people here in America, and it virtually has for, I guess, almost 100 years. And one thing that I would like to tell you before I forget it, the FBI was investigating the 9/11 incident about 3 weeks before it happened. They knew it was going to happen, and they were following people around that they thought were Mossad agents because they spoke Arabic quite fluently. Well, they found out that these so-called Mossad agents were actually Israeli. Yes, Israelis that spoke Arabic quite fluently, and they tried to report this to some of their superior supervisors, and their supervisors told them, shut your mouth. Well, they tried to report this to some even higher level supervisors who were actually in on 911, and they told them, shut your mouth. And of course, these FBI agents were killed, and even more of them were fired. And I have an excellent read about the ones that had that happen to them. I want you also to know that Al-Qaeda is a CIA front. The CIA has funded them and started the organization, and they fund the leaders of Hamas quite regularly, even though I don't know for sure if they started it or not. And what you folks must understand is that these various espionage agencies are all involved in this thing, the higher-level people. Now, the lower-level people, like the lower-level FBI agents, are good folks, and they're trustworthy and reliable. And you have a lot of good FBI agents, CIA agents, and other agents in these government agencies that at the lower levels, they're good and reliable folks. But at the higher levels, virtually all of them are in on 911 or whatever else they're going to do. They all know about this Israeli nuclear device being in the Israeli embassy. And the ones that know about it and would like to tell about it know that they will be killed if they tell anything about it and anyone finds out.
Now, what
I wanted you folks to know this before I go any further about anything.
Well, and this is by the fact that you, from your own research and stuff, is that what you're saying?
Run that by me again, ma'am.
This is because of your research that you've done, correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am. That's how I happened to find out about all this stuff about the FBI and so forth. You know, just when I was doing ad-lib stuff for my book, you run onto things over and over again. It's all on the Internet. Everything you want to find out about this is on the Internet, and that's one reason they're trying to restrict the Internet, is because the Internet is the great danger to these criminal Jews. Now, let me say this. There are many, many Jews here all over the world that are fine folks that don't want anything to do with this mess, but you must understand that the Zionists killed large numbers of Jews, especially back before 1900, and the Mossad was an offshoot founded in 1947 when the Nation of Israel was founded. It is an offshoot of the Zionist order, and the Zionists are probably, along with the Mossad, the biggest gang of criminals on the earth. And as a matter of fact, someone called Hal Turner up here a couple of days ago and told him that the Israeli Mossad has sent someone to kill him now. What do you think of that?
Well, I hear he's pretty outspoken, isn't he?
Well, he's not necessarily outspoken. He just tells the truth. You see, the truth sounds like it's outspoken because you must understand that the common man, not only here in America, but also all over the European part of the world and even North Africa, is controlled by the television set and the public school. Those two things are the number one influence of the common man everywhere, and for a long time the church had control of them. And of course the Emperor Constantine, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but when they started preaching this so-called Christianity about 300 A.D., so Constantine told the preachers, he said, I'm going to square every one of you up and kick you this way and that way if you don't start all preaching the same thing. And, of course, that same thing that they started preaching was Roman Catholicism, which lasted for hundreds of years until the so-called Reformation took place. And then the Reformation taught basically the same stuff as the Roman Catholic Church, except you didn't have a priest telling you what to do. And I just, you know, it's kind of a funny thing, Doll. When I was about 11 and a half years old, I quit the church. I was raised up in the United Methodist Church, and I quit the church. My mother was horrified. I said, "Mother, you're trying to tell me that a man was in the ground, buried for 3 days, and rose from the dead, and was alive after he was buried. Don't you know that that man would have maggots dripping out of him? This Lazarus that he so-called resurrected, maggots were dripping out of him. Do you not understand that?" And, of course, my mother got completely hysterical, and she and I had kind of a parting of companies from then on.
Well, that's, well, you know what, I'm sure it's rather late where you are this evening, and I've enjoyed having you two, you know, come on the program this evening, and I bet, although I guess you're used to staying up. I mean, you're a couple hours ahead of us, aren't you?
Oh, I usually stay up till about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Watching the internet.
My goodness. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight, and thank you for coming on the program, Elizabeth.
Yes, ma'am.
And
well,
Artie?
Let me say one little thing. Anybody
okay.
that wants these CDs or DVDs, all they've got to do is call me or drop me a card, and I'll send them one for free.
Oh, that's great. And what, you want to give your address?
The address is Artie Wheeler, 512 South East Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21224. That's Artie Wheeler, 512 Southeast Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21224.
Well, and
you want to give our phone number too, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Oh, we can give them a phone number if they like that. Go ahead, honey, and give them the phone number.
It's 410-327-4522.
Well, and say that again.
410-327-4522.
Well, again, I want to thank you two for coming on, and I appreciate it immensely, and may you guys continue your good work, okay?
Yes, ma'am, and I hope that the people can beat them. They need to be beaten thoroughly and put on the gallows. That's basically all I have to tell anyone tonight.
Oh, well,
thank you for having us, Miss Melody.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am, thank you for having us greatly. So we'll say goodbye now.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am, and good night.
Good night.
Oops.